The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. Kay Marie, Ali Moreno and Chaka Hislop here to look back on a big day of action in La Liga and ahead to the West London Derby as Chelsea will take on Fulham tomorrow. We'll also have more guests joining us, but we will start with the La Liga coverage. Real Madrid against Valencia at the Santiago Bernabeu. We're going to pick up the action just past the 30-minute mark. Militao would go down with injury here and had to be subbed off.
Yeah, it's just adding to Real Madrid's woes. Militao rather really challenge and then just seems to land awkwardly and never a good sight.
Carvajal came on for him, and this is when Real Madrid thought they'd gone ahead through Antonio Rudiger just before the halftime whistle, but
I think Benzema maybe makes contact with the chicken wing sticking up, and then Yunus Musa is already on his way down whenever there is contact with his face and the extended arm of Karim Benzema. Once they look at it in VAR, they say it's a foul. I disagree. No chance that's a foul. I know a dive when I see one.
So coming into the second half, I think the best of first half to Marco Asensio, but he certainly made up for it here.
Yeah, not having the best of first half is a really nice way to put it, Kate. But I'll say Asensio redeeming himself. What a strike. That angle from behind saw exactly how much movement he got on that ball.
Talking about movement, Ale.
Come on, Lex.
Or lack of it.
Come on, Lex.
I'm at Vinny.
Come on, Lex. Speed of Vinny Jr. No speed from Gabriel. He can't get there. Good finish from Vinny Jr. Finding that far post. Marquinhos really cannot come up with a save. Oh, dance, Vinny. Get it, Vinny. Oh, and Rudiger leaves him hanging. No, yeah, there you go.
I wonder if Gabriel Paulista was annoyed about that. We'll find out, shall we? 57th minute. Not good news for Real Madrid. Karim Benzema is going to find himself not feeling so great after this.
But it's just a great block for us to start with. But then you see Karim Benzema flex that right leg, hold the back of the hamstring. At this point, you're just hoping that it's not too bad.
What you didn't see there is he immediately went down the stairs after Rodrigo came on.
Oh! Okay. All right. Okay. Well, he had difficulties catching him on the sprint. And I got to tell you, this could have been much worse because Gabriel, while this is criminal from him, he actually doesn't catch him as good as he wants to or as cleanly as he wants to, so much so that Vinny can get up and actually push Gabriel around. No doubt this is a straight red card. Gabriel Paulista, see you later. Take care. Have fun going home.
Well, this is how things finish. Real Madrid back to winning ways with that 2-0 win. Valencia's troubles continue at the Bernabeu on what's been a bad week for them. Here's how La Liga's standings look right now. It's 5 points between Real Madrid and Barcelona at the top of the table. But they certainly have cut what was an 8-point gap between the two after Barcelona's win over Betis yesterday. Luis Garcia is joining us. He's been watching this game with us too. Luis, tell us anything you want to about this game. What stood out to you? Because it's a very different first half that we saw to the second half and how things turned out.
Yeah, definitely a better second half for Real Madrid. That from the first minute, you could see the intention, the desire, the determination to try to find that goal that wasn't conceded in that first 45 minutes. Definitely a different Real Madrid, better one. Once again, the same players standing forward and saying, here we are Real Madrid. Ceballos, once again, one of the best players in the middle of the park. Camavinga, Vinicius being a threat. And it was Vinicius the one who started making a lot more danger in that left side. That goal that came from nowhere from Asensio, I think is one of the best goals that we've seen in Real Madrid this season. Fantastic. We all know how good he is with that left foot. We've seen scoring goals, but have a look to that strike, how the ball goes in and out. So no chance for Mamardashvili in that chance. And from that moment on, Real Madrid just got the confidence that they needed. They got the patience that they needed. And, well, it was about time to score the second one. And we could see even the third one, the fourth. And, of course, we have to also mention that Bad attitude from Gabriel Jesus trying to catch Vinicius Junior that I think is quite a reckless challenge, very ugly, that we don't like to see on the pitch.
Let's go to Marco Asensio then, shall we? Because as we said, okay, I put it politely, it wasn't his best first half. We even wondered how long he'd be on for the second half, LA.
Little does Marco Asensio know that there was already movement going on in the bench and for Real Madrid. There was already some conversation, and Carlo Ancelotti and his son, and there was some shuffling going on in that bench. You know what the shuffling is? Marco Asensio was coming out the field. It's what was going to happen. And then he does this. And this is special from Marco Asensio. We don't always see it, but when he hits it like that, you think, man, this guy is something else. The defending from Valencia, you see some of the difficulties that they have. That Hugo Guillamón, that's not defending. That's not closing down the space. And you want to see more poor defending? Come on, Gabriel. Come on, Lex. Come on. There's no cover from behind Gabriel. Nothing that Gabriel can do to keep up with Vini Jr. Give credit to Marco Asensio. Give credit to Vini Jr. Give credit to Real Madrid that this game could have gotten out of control, and yet they were able to bring quality when they needed it and create enough momentum in the second half. After that, it got comfortable. 2-0. No drama. No stress. Nothing to see here.
But the stress will be that Karim Benzema's had to go off injured here, and it's not something Carlo Ancelotti's wanting to be dealing with. He's already had this merry-go-round of injuries, and now his star player as well.
A star player in every single regard. Real Madrid weren't great in the first half. Probably the only player who could make a claim as to having carried their weight was Karim Benzema, who, again, I thought was outstanding. Real Madrid's final ball and finishing let them down, particularly in that first 45. I'm being kind to Courtois and Real Madrid defensively, because let's be honest, Valencia just didn't offer anything. But given how important Karim Benzema has been for Real Madrid all of last season, all of this season, in this game today, not having him available with Champions League just around the corner is a huge concern for Carlo Ancelotti and Real Madrid. He is at the front of everything that they do and doing well. Him missing is as irreplaceable as it comes at this level of the game.
If Carlo Ancelotti were given the choice of protecting one player from the whole squad, from everybody that he has available, and they say, Carlo, you can only protect one player that will not get injured throughout the course of the season, that's your guy. It would be, without a doubt, Karim Benzema. He is the one player that, as Shaka just described, is irreplaceable for Real Madrid. And so it is difficult to see how this team evolves without Karim Benzema on the field. He is the focal point. He gives outlets. He gives passes. He gives movement of the ball. He gives movement with the ball. And more importantly, gives this team goals. So it is a concern. So when I said earlier, no drama, no drama regarding this game. But from here on out, drama, because not only Karim Benzema, it's also Eder Militao and how good he has been defensively for this team. So one of your leaders, in fact, your leader in the attacking half, and one of the guys who has been the most consistent performer in the back line, also out. Big question for Real Madrid.
Big questions of Gabriel Paulista's actions in this and that foul on Vini Jr. that ended up seeing red. Just taking a look back at that. I mean, what was he thinking, Luis?
The frustration from the whole situation, he just blew up in his head. I think he lost the plot in that moment because he couldn't stop it in any moment. He knew that he was gonna find again that space that Vinicius was going to use, and he just tried. I think even in the last moment, he wanted to control because he doesn't catch it the best way. He wanted to kind of hurt Vinicius Junior, but again, I think it's just because of that kind of frustration that all the club, all the players are at the moment.
And then, Luis, you think about it behind the scenes, what's going on at Valencia. That's got to be playing into these players' heads because it's not an easy time for everybody right now.
Of course, it's a very bad moment for all of them. You could see in the moment that they concede the first goal, because in the first half, I think that Valencia was disciplined, was well organized, and I think they kept the composure for most of the time. In the second half, when they tried to open a little bit, you could see when they concede that goal, the body language saying that, once again, we are here again. We are not going to get out of this situation, and it's going to cause them maybe to go relegated. They are only 1 point away, and the way that they are playing at the moment, the way that you see that they don't have maybe players to capitalize chances up front. You could see a team that is struggling to get goals. They just see the bottom. They just see the bottom of the table because they cannot even think about trying to reach one of the teams that they go above for them.
While you're here, Louis, oh, sorry, quickly, Ali.
I was just going to say that a little detail about the play from Vinicius is that he jumps ahead of the challenge. He's right. Anticipating the challenge is coming, yeah. Jumps, and that's what allows him to get away with it, that he doesn't get caught as cleanly as Gabriel wanted to catch him.
So we've got Luis Garcia here, which is why we're showing you Liverpool against Real Madrid. That's coming up on Tuesday, February 21st, in the round of 16 in the Champions League. Liverpool, the beaten finalists last season in the Champions League to Real Madrid. Just thought I'd bring that one back up there for you, Luis. Do you think that Liverpool might pull off a surprise, or can they in this one?
Yes, of course they can. I mean, I know that Liverpool is in a very bad moment, very bad momentum. They are trying to bring on the players who have been injured. They cannot catch kind of a good situation in the Premier League. But Champions League, totally different. I understand that when you play against Real Madrid at the Bernabeu, it's always a very difficult team. If you see, if you follow how Real Madrid has been played, kind of you think that both teams are not in the best shape in the past few years, but definitely in this kind of situation, I favor it a little bit Real Madrid because they have that mentality, that competitiveness that they always show in the big moments. So I think that at the moment, I will say that is 60-40 for Real Madrid, and that's a big say coming from me.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what's happening today. I really don't. I'm going to agree with Luis.
Twice in one day.
Yes, I don't like it, but I'm going to agree with Luis, right? I don't know what's happening, and I'm just going to roll with it. Real Madrid in Champions League is a different animal altogether. And while we may say from watching Real Madrid that they look vulnerable, and at times they do, and you see the injuries and you get concerned, you think to yourself, I don't know. But just as I'm telling myself that, I watch Liverpool play and I go, I don't know. I really don't know about that team. So if I have doubts from both, then I have to go with the team that I trust the most in this sort of environment. I'm going to go with Real Madrid.
Shaka, how are you feeling about it?
Similarly, neither of these teams are in the best of form. I think Real Madrid are playing better football between the two. Where Real Madrid have been frustrated is teams sitting deep and looking to hit them on the break. Are Liverpool that team, or can Liverpool be that team? And I phrase it that way because we're not quite sure who Liverpool are this season, just in general, how they're at their best. So how does Klopp set them up against Real Madrid? We wait to see. The only caveat, if you're a Liverpool fan, is do you think that Liverpool have saved some of their best football for the Champions League this season? But everything else we've seen from them has not been good, not even a little bit.
We've heard some interesting quotes from Darwin Nunez recently in an interview about the transition to the Premier League. He said, I didn't expect the Premier League to be so strong. Nico Otamendi told me that, but I still didn't expect it. The football is more difficult than in Portugal and more competitive. You don't get much time. Klopp knows my strength is my speed, running into space. Also, he tells me that I need to be more calm when I'm playing and that I need to move more. He tells me I'm a player with a lot of quality, so that's more or less what he wants from me. And of course, that I score goals. I don't think I'm playing well at the moment. I still have many things to work on, for example, my finishing. But I think the same thing is happening to me as happened to Luis Suarez. In his second year, he tore it up. Something similar happened to me already at Benfica. The first year went very badly for me, and in the second, I exploded. Luis, your reaction to what Nunez has said here?
I totally agree with him. I think that when you arrived to Premier League, kind of shocked you, and I think that he wasn't expecting that it was going to be so complicated. When he receives the ball, it's always someone on team. Players are very fast, very strong, so it's not going to be easy to impose your physical condition against them. You need to find the rhythm of how Liverpool play. That is a very high intensity, so you need to know when to run, where to run, and he needs to adapt to a different team. So there is a lot of things that he needs to continue working. But I also agree with him on he can become one of the best strikers in Premier League, because all those attributes that big players need, he has it. He's strong, he's very good in the air, he's got a good finishing, even though, of course, he needs to continue working. But the most important is that strength. When he's got a full speed, that power that he's got on these footballs, on today's football, is very important, and he's got it. So he needs to continue adapting, he needs to continue working, but definitely I think that it will work for Liverpool having him on the line.
Ale?
The thing that I disagree with in Darwin Núñez is him sort of kind of presenting the idea as if he has had a terrible season. He hasn't. Look, he hasn't been outstanding and as productive as he would have wanted to be. But when you look at Liverpool and the attacking players, they are a different team when he's on the field, because he does give them that mobility. He does give them that speed in behind. And it's a guy that is always active and is difficult to defend. Now, the final touch hasn't always been there. But I think in evaluating Darwin Núñez, in the total picture of it all, I don't see this as a terrible season for him, or a bad season for that matter. Now, the expectations were something different, and so therefore everybody wants him to score a hat trick every game. That's not going to happen. I do appreciate the introspective look of Darwin Núñez, in which he's seen everything and saying everything that he's feeling about his experience. So that means that he's thinking about it, that means that he's processing the information, and that he is willing to then do the things that he needs to do in order to adjust whenever he has the time to then get all this information together, get into the off season and say, all right, these are the things that didn't work for me. I know this, and I can work towards a goal that can be attainable for me. Again, the introspective look, I think, is important for every player, and he has done a good job of providing us with that information.
Yeah, and we'll see if there could be some big changing moment for him in the Champions League that is upcoming when Liverpool take on Real Madrid. Milan take on Tottenham on February 14th when it returns. At least Spurs can feel better about themselves when they see Milan's recent form. Anyway, PSG against Bayern Munich. Interesting due to some recent news here. First leg is at PSG, but Kylian Mbappe will miss that first leg with a thigh injury that he picked up in the win against Montpellier. PSG have announced that he will miss 3 weeks. Bayern are already big favourites before this happened. Or, well, let's say favourites. Obviously, yeah. Remember, they did beat them in the final just a couple of years back. So obviously that's going to give them a bit of a boost going into this one. But Julien Laurent is with us now to tell us how this has gone down in Paris. Tell us more, Jules.
Hi guys, yeah, it was very badly, of course, yesterday when he got injured, and seeing his face when he came off the pitch, and then when he left the dressing room and the stadium to go on to the team bus to go back to the airport and to fly back home to Paris, you could see on his face that he knew already, even before the exams and the scans that he had this morning on Thursday morning at the hospital, that things were, something was wrong, and we had confirmation once the scans were made, and once we knew what he had exactly, that hamstring problem, 3 weeks. And even if he comes back a little bit before, the game is in 12 days now, so it's not going to happen. He's also going to miss the trip to Monaco in the league, the trip to Marseille in the French Cup, so some huge games. And this is not, I mean, pretty much every year PSG have bad injuries at the wrong time, especially when they play those big Champions League matches. But this one is one that is going to hurt the team massively.
Definitely going to hurt the team massively. Shaka, if there was a silver lining, could you say at least he may be back for the second leg away from home when he could be more important?
Yeah, you have to take that at least he'll be available for that. But losing a player like Kylian Mbappe is a blow, regardless of who you can call on, regardless of the fact that you've got Neymar and Lionel Messi back playing at his best available to you. Neymar and Mbappe adds pace, he adds penetration to our front three. He has an understanding with the other two that PSG have to rely on. That worries every single team you come up against. Not having to deal with that pace allows Bayern to make certain adjustments that may suit them, or certain may suit them better. That's a blow. You take the fact that at least he's available or may be available for the second leg, but you want to have all of your big players available to you for all of your big games.
You especially want to have Kylian Mbappe, don't you, Luis?
Of course, he's a special player, he's a unique player, and when the big games arrive, these are the players who likes to make a step forward, who likes to have the ball, who likes to make the difference, and Mbappe is no different. I think he's a unique player, and as Shaka just mentioned, any kind of team, any team there in the world, if you have a player like him, you're going to miss him.
Are PSG worried about Neymar's ankle, Jules?
Yes, as well. Neymar's ankle, Kimpembe's leg, Sergio Ramos' groin, and the list goes on. It's not a good time. They're not playing well. They won against Montpellier even without Kylian. They're just not playing well. Everybody has issues. I mean, Messi is recovering his best form, but that was always going to take a bit of time after the World Cup at his age, and especially to try to be as good as he was in the first half of the season. So there's a lot of worries, I think, to have all around. And even if Bayern are not in great form right now, although they won in the German Cup yesterday against Mainz, they haven't been great in the league so far with the three draws since the restart. It's still not ideal for PSG really to be in that kind of form with those kind of players missing or doubtful, let's put it, for Neymar and Sergio Ramos and Kimpembe, before playing those two games against a team that can raise the level really when they play against PSG.
No, they haven't been great, Bayern, of late. With that in mind, and with Kylian Mbappe out of this first leg, who have you got going through?
Right, so yesterday I said I'm going to take PSG. Now, in retrospect, already listening to all the things that everybody is saying, one would argue and suggest that maybe I should change my mind.
Already?
When I go home, one of the things that gets thrown in my face all the time is that I'm very stubborn. Right? I'm not changing my mind. I'm staying with PSG. Look, Bayern Munich are not playing all that well themselves. And while there are questions about PSG, yes, I will be stubborn. I'm going to go with PSG. And yes, my wife is correct. I am stubborn.
That felt like a Darwin Nunez-esque kind of soul-searching going on there.
Introspection.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. See, I'm going to bring a better version of myself when I go home. Shaq.
Okay.
And we also won't bring up changing your mind about World Cup.
Just move on, Kay. Move on.
You're definitely not stubborn.
One player who won't be playing in any more World Cups is Raphael Varane. He has retired from international duty after 93 caps for France, winning the World Cup in 2018. It means his last game is that World Cup final against Argentina. Is this something of a sudden and surprising decision, Jules? Why now?
No, not really, Kay. I mean, he mentioned it to the people around him. We'd heard rumours that he was certainly considering his future on the international scene, so didn't really come as a surprise today. Fitness-wise already, he's 29, he would turn 30 this year. But he hasn't been the fittest, really, and I think going away on international break, the big competition was for his body was heavy, was an extra, you know, loads of work, of course. He's starting to miss his family much more maybe than when he was 25, 24, 23, and the two children that he has as well now. He also wanted to focus on his club career for the last few years of his career, which I think makes sense. And I think the defeat against Argentina hurt him. The international retirement from Hugo Lloris, his best mate, hurt him as well. And I think he was feeling that maybe this was the right time after 93 caps, after winning the World Cup, of course, in 2018, the Nations League, all those caps under the same head coach, of course, Didier Deschamps. So I think there was a lot going on. He could have stayed a little bit longer, maybe until the Euros, but he felt that it was the right time to call it there.
So it felt the right time, actually perfect timing, you could say, for us to ask you, Jules, who the top five centre-backs in French history are. Take it away.
Yeah, so before I said that, Lilian Thuram, because he played most of his time for France as a right-back, was not considered as a centre-back, so I went with Maxime Bossis, who was a wonderful player, defender, very elegant, very classy, and number five. Number four, Marius Trésor. Of course, in the 80s, if you remember, maybe the best defender. Especially in the early 80s, he was wonderful. And then we go maybe to more of the known names. Laurent Blanc as number three and Marcel Desailly as number two for what they did for France, but also at club level and how good they were. One with the ball, the other one very defensively. And then Rafa as my number one because of everything that he won with Real Madrid and with France. The player that he was, I think when he was fully fit, there was no better defender, centre-back than him, really, maybe in the world. Or he was in the top five easily. What a leader as well he was. So elegant, such a nice guy. So I think he deserves to be the number one.
Luis Garcia, do you agree with this? Rafael Varane, number one on this list.
I mean, I'm not going to fight with Jules because, of course, he knows the full history of every one of them. I can fool there. I can appreciate some others, but for me, Laurent Blanc is one of my the players that I follow when I was growing up. I enjoy watching him play for Barcelona as well. The way that he played from the back, that experience, that quality. I think he should be a little bit higher, but again, I mean, the rest of them, they are amazing players, legends of the of this sport. Marcel Desailly, I think he was massive. I will say even Desailly, I enjoy watching them when he used to play also as a holding midfielder. And what can I say about Rafael Varane? Because I cannot talk much about Mario Strasser and Maxim Bosses because I didn't watch them much. So, yeah, I think Jules knows perfectly what is he talking about.
Shaka, Varane and Desailly in front of you. You all right with that?
I'm confident I could keep a clean sheet or two with those two. And listen, for me, I thought Desailly was the best defender I'd seen. And I'd have him top of any list. And so while Jules goes with Varane, I respectfully disagree.
Now, omitted in this list is none other than no ego himself, Frank Lippo.
Yeah.
I mean,
number one in our hearts.
Yes, that is a crime
number
in this show.
Number one in our hearts, Frank
Lippo. It is a crime in this show that Frank Lippo is not included in the list. I am sure that you'll be getting a message soon.
I can't believe you, Jules. I cannot believe you, Jules. Absolutely no need for that. What?
None.
Unnecessary.
No sentiment. I could not make any sentiment. You know, I had to, this is my job here.
I don't know about that, Jules. One of your arguments about Rafael Varane is he's a nice guy.
Like a lot of other things, you know.
You can hear more from Jules on the Gabba Jules podcast. That's out twice a week. Wherever you do get your podcast, you'll always be able to hear the guys talking about football. And of course, if you're watching on video, you can see what Jules is wearing today.
Okay.
Oh, good.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Friday brings with it a West London derby in the Premier League. It is seventh place Fulham taking on Chelsea, 2 points behind them as it stands right now. But the big story, what a winter transfer window it has been for Chelsea, registering a net spend of €317 million. Capped off with that last minute signing of Enzo Fernandez for €121 million from Benfica. So ahead of the game, Graham Potter was asked about the pressure after what's been a club record spending window.
The challenge is the right word, but I'm certainly not complaining about it. I mean, it's exciting. It's a test for me, of course, and for the staff and for everybody, but it's an exciting one. There's going to be a few awkward questions. That's the reality of where we are. A few awkward conversations because only 11 can play and only a certain amount can be in squads, so there's always going to be ones that will be disappointed. And it's about being as honest and open and respectful and transparent as you can. I think everybody that's been in this room for the last 4 months, the word that we've always spoke about is pressure. So that's not going to change. Clearly, if you spend money, that the external noise goes up. Again, I understand that. I've also said resources is one thing and spending money is one thing, but you need to be able to align them, you need to be able to make the right decisions, you need to be able to provide a culture, a team, an environment, because it's not the amount that you spend on its own that gets success. I think it's more than that.
So, Luis, on the one hand, you have all this pressure because of the money that's been spent, but on the other hand, you've got these very expensive, very talented players coming in to help your team out. Which way do you look at it?
I look excited about what I got right now in my hands. Of course, the pressure is going to be always part of the game, always on the side of the players and on the side of the manager. Everybody's going to feel that pressure. It doesn't matter if you have spent 300 million or if you are almost getting close to relegate. So at the end, the pressure is going to be always there. If you got tools, if you got argument, you got talent, it's a lot easier to manage that kind of pressure. So I'm sure that he's excited to work with all these amount of amazing players and try to close the gap that is not going to be easy, definitely, and try to get in that top four that is far away, 10 points far away. So a lot of work to be done there, because as he mentioned, you only can play with 11 players, and we've seen Manchester City fail when it matters, we've seen Paris Saint-Germain fail when it matters, and all those teams, they are also fantastic and amazing players. So we'll see how he can manage and rotate to use the best and take the best of these players for the team.
Because that's a big added part, isn't it? There's all this money that's been spent on these players who are going to expect to play. So he's got to get his management just right now with this team, Shaq.
Yeah, and Graham Potter addressed that, saying all he can do is be open and transparent with those players. And he's absolutely right. All you can do is explain to those players your thinking, why maybe they're being left out, why maybe they're playing in a different position.
He's going to have to have a lot of conversations, Shaq.
I'm getting you. And that's fine. And while you prefer to have this kind of quality available to you than not, it's only so open and transparent you can be. and saying to somebody, listen, you're not in the starting 11, no, you're not in the travelling squad, or only for so long before even the best of intentions somehow get turned into outright anger from some of these players. So while, again, I sympathise with the position that he's been put in, and he's trying to put a positive spin on it, and he's saying all the right things, we cannot deny that. This is a headache just waiting to happen that I don't think any manager signs up for.
See, while it's actually exciting for those of us watching from the outside, it's not only exciting to see what the starting 11 is going to be, now we have to have a discussion as to who's in the squad for the game.
Yeah.
Huh? These are big decisions now for Graham Potter. And finding the balance of this team, and this is something that we talk about all the time, how the pieces fit together. You can only have that happening when you're able to find consistency on the field. You want to see the pieces come together because on the field you are seeing that this team can work well, that these pieces do work well, that these players have an understanding. And how do you develop an understanding? By being on the field together. And how do you do that when you have this many guys that you have to keep happy? Look, I suppose it's a good problem to have, that you have a whole lot of talent on the team and many options. But man, it's going to be tricky to deal with all of this.
Jules, can Enzo Fernandez play tomorrow? Could we see that?
Yeah, he's been registered. He trained today, I was told. He's available for selection, so it's down to Potter to pick him or not. We know that Zakaria, for example, is out injured. We know that N'Golo Kante, obviously, has been out for a long time. But so, Jorginho is gone, so there's not many, to be fair, there's not many options in midfield for Potter. So you would think that Enzo would start tomorrow, and then we see, like Ali said, in what system, how, who plays next to him. We know that this is also very important. We know that he played with Argentina at the World Cup in a different way, that he played with Benfica in a double pivot with Florentino Luis, who was a very defensive-minded midfielder. Next to him, they don't have someone like Florentino Luis at Chelsea right now in their squad. They can play with a midfield three like he did with Argentina, and be the holding player, but I think you still lose a lot of what his talent is, which is, you know, the kind of basically doing everything on the pitch from midfield. So it'd be fascinating to see what Potter does. And And just last thing on Potter, this is all new to him. This is not something that he's been used to before. He never had that many signing outs to soon at Swansea or at Brighton. And, I mean, seven new players in 3 weeks like that is crazy. And yet he was struggling already with the squad that he had before to find the right formula. And they've been struggling all season. Now he's got even more talent, more players, a bigger squad. And finding still the right formula and the right options. He will have to learn very quickly and make the right calls very quickly.
Well, he's probably happy about it. But I'll tell you who isn't happy about the club spending is the hierarchy in La Liga.
Oh.
Here's what Chief Corporate Officer Javier Gomez had to say. He said the reality is that at La Liga, we want clubs to spend what they can afford and generate themselves. That is to say, their own revenues. The Premier League are, quote, doping the clubs. They're injecting money not generated by the club for it to spend. We are demanding that UEFA implement a new economic regulation that prevents the shareholder of a club from putting in more than a certain amount and that it enforces the rule and sanctions non-compliant clubs. Can you fact check this for us, Jules?
Yeah, I mean, it's partly true and partly not true because, you know, a lot of the Premier League clubs have huge revenues, which La Liga know, everybody knows, the TV money in the UK is, in England, sorry, is far bigger than everybody else. I mean, basically, just to sum it up, or to round it up, they get £10 billion for their TV rights domestically and on the international scene. This is mind-blowing. If you compare it with the other leagues, it's like you put all the four big leagues together and the Premier League still gets more just for themselves. So the money, the revenues are not so much a problem. Yes, some English clubs lose money, but they are debts that they control more or less. And a lot of the investment, by the way, are not coming from rich owners who pump their own money into the clubs. What Chelsea are doing, but again, this response from La Liga and what Javier Tebas also said, that they're cheating and everything, it's also in the, because of what Chelsea have been doing this January transfer window, but they are an exception. They are really an exception. If you look at Arsenal or Manchester United or Manchester City, even, you know, this is not Chelsea. They have the new owners who are deciding in mind, and they've spent massive amount of money, which they say they're going to recoup, and the revenue are going to be higher. All of that, so they've got a plan. And La Liga can't make, of an exemption, something more global for all English clubs in this general transfer window, because this would not be true.
Has there been a lot of talk about this in Spain, Luis, and La Liga's side of things as to what Chelsea are actually doing and spending?
Yes, of course. At the end, La Liga has been trying to implement a way of doing the things with the economic fair play here in Spain. And economics means that they can help every single team, trying to share all the amount from revenues around the world to almost share it equally in all the teams to try to make La Liga very competitive. And of course, when you have a look to one of the leagues or one of the best leagues in the world, and you see that a team spent 300 million, something that no one in Spain, not even putting all the teams together, is right there. It's difficult to understand. But it's true that we've seen that before with Chelsea, with Abramovich, with PSG, with Nasser, with Manchester City, when new owners arrive and put a lot of money. So if they are doing something wrong, I'm sure the FIFA will have an eye on them because they've done it before and they will also pay attention on that. If they can do it like this and they've done it like this, is because the economic system that they have in the team, in the club, is working perfectly. So if not, we'll see what happened, or we've seen what happened in Italy a few years back when suddenly the competition just blew up and all the teams lost almost everything that they had. So we'll see what happened, but it looks like Premier League continue getting better and better and stronger and stronger.
And we'll see what happens with Chelsea when they do take on Fulham in the Premier League on Friday. We'll be looking back on that game on tomorrow's show. Make sure you join us then and every single day on ESPN FC. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Earlier on Thursday, Real Madrid beat Valencia 2-0 with second-half goals from both Marco Asensio and Vinny Jr. Alexis Nunez was at the game pitchside for us. She did catch up with Carlo Ancelotti after it. But first, let's hear what Yunus Musa had to say.
All right, Yunus, second time in almost 2 months that you're going up against Real Madrid. Of course, last time you pushed them to the brink in the Supercopa. Yeah. Today, we knew at the Bernabeu it was going to be tough. But thoughts on the overall game?
Yeah, no, I felt like in the first half, we closed them down well. We forced them to keep playing wide. And, you know, we closed them down well. And, yeah, we knew how to suffer, you know, against these guys. And then we came in the second half and we started a bit slow. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, he scored a great goal. And, yeah, there wasn't much you could do about that. But I felt like overall the team had the great intention today, great intensity, that we made it difficult for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said you knew that you guys had to suffer, but I think you made them suffer there when Rudiger's goal was called off. Yeah. Of course, Benzema looked quite upset afterwards. Yeah. But what was it from your perspective? What did you feel?
Of that goal?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it was a moment in the set piece that I was trying to mark him as a man, obviously, and then he got a bit upset and gave him an elbow. And, you know, with the VAR, you have to go and check it. So that's part of the game now, and you have to use it to advantage.
And I know it's been a tough week, of course, for Valencia. There's a lot of uncertainty, of course, at the highest level, which is out of your hands. You can only go on the pitch and do what you can. But just how do you put that behind you now and try and move forward? Because the last thing you want is a relegation battle, right?
Exactly. So we have to take the positives out of the game and then obviously watch the video now and correct the little details. And as a team, I feel like, you know, this is a moment where we're together. In the changing room right now, we're very together. Like, we're very raring to go. We know that we've got a few games to go. And, you know, we've got a game like this weekend straight away, so there's no time to sulk. We're ready to battle again. And, yeah, the team's trying to do their best now. So, yeah, we're going to go out there and do our best again. And, like, the team's very motivated to do this, you know. I feel like we're capable and we trust each other.
You know, it's always great to talk to you. All the best for the next one.
I appreciate it.
Carlo, congratulations. A win at home. I know that was important after the result at the weekend. It was a tale of two different halves once again. Happy with the overall performance, or do you want to see more dominance in the first half?
No, I'm happy also. The first half was not perfect, but I think we had a good control. We were not so far. We didn't put a lot of energy because it's quite difficult to put a lot of energy from the beginning. We have a lot of game, too much, and so the second half, much intensity.
And then, of course, it could have been 3-0. Was it a bit harsh to rule out Rudiger's goal?
Hard to understand, but happened.
It happens, of course. And then we saw, unfortunately, we don't want to talk about more injuries for Real Madrid. I know we've been talking about that. We saw Karim go off as well, and Eder. You know, when you think of these two players, people say they're irreplaceable. So how big of a concern is that for you?
We have injuries because it's normal to have injury in this period because the players are tired and they have no time to recover. And so to have injury is normal. The squad is good enough, I think, to replace and look forward for the next game that is not so far.
And finally, Vinny Jr., 200 appearances for Real Madrid and he scored. How special is he and how much do you enjoy working with him?
One of the best players in the world. And he's still young and he can improve a lot.
Perfect, Carletta. Thank you so much.
I'm not sure who's more relaxed, Ancelotti or Xhaka Hislop.
Bro,
anyway, this is La Liga's upcoming schedule for you. Friday, all the way through to Sunday. Real Madrid will be back in action on Sunday morning against Mallorca. Barcelona taking on Sevilla on Sunday. Feature game there, 2:30 p.m. Eastern. Our coverage will begin. Meanwhile, Juventus march on to the Final Four of the Coppa Italia, where they will face the holders Inter at San Siro. In the other semi-final, maybe a bit more unlikely than some might have expected, Cremonese taking on Fiorentina. The final will be May 24th. The real question is, how does this affect Xhaka's power rankings? Because they are back, and we know that's why you're all tuning in today.
Well, worth the wait. Let me tell you something. Well, you get a bonus for your money. Newcastle and Manchester United, even at 3, both at 39 points, both through to the Carabao Cup final. I couldn't separate them, so they're in at 10. Marseille are in at 9. They're second in Liga, but 9 wins, 1 draw in the last 10. Leipzig, they're... What, third in the league?
So you don't know.
You don't know. I have to do a double take.
Yeah.
Leipzig are third in the league, but just 2 points back of Bayern. Haven't lost in September. Benfica running away with it in Portugal. Galatasaray similarly in Turkey. Inter been good. Inter have only lost once since November, I think it is, and they're their fifth.
Hang on.
City fourth, Barcelona third.
Hang on.
Arsenal, let me finish. Napoli, what do you want to say, Kay?
How can you have Newcastle / Manchester United in at 10?
It's a bonus. No. Everybody's been waiting so long for the power rankings that you get a bonus team in there.
No. Xhaka, it is your job, by definition, to be able to separate the
teams. I couldn't.
One who has to be in, the other one has to be out. And, mind you, some friendly fire. You drop Buffon.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, what happened?
Sorry, Gigi. Uh-huh. I just couldn't.
What do you mean you couldn't?
I just couldn't keep your head, Gigi. It was a good 1 week run. I couldn't separate Newcastle.
2 weeks, because last week you didn't do power rankings.
No, well.
There's a difference. At least he put two teams in together. Yeah. Like, Jules outright just ignored Frank Leboeuf earlier when we asked him his top five centre-backs.
Well. Everybody likes a little bonus.
But this is cheating, isn't it, Jules?
That's just a bonus.
Completely.
You can't separate them. It's a draw.
No. Listen, if I put Marius Trezor / Frank Leboeuf, you would have shouted at me, because it's not a top five can only have 5 players, not 6. A top 10 power ranking only has 10 teams, not 11. I mean, why is this? When producer Pete sent me the message, I was like, hang on, there's one too many. This is not acceptable. Our audience are going to go mad about that. And by the way, Marseille are too low. Inter Milan lost a week ago to Empoli at the San Siro. They should never be so high. So once again, you haven't disappointed in the mess that this power ranking are.
And there you go.
Luis,
have
you had the pleasure of being on a power rankings with Xhaka Hislop?
Yeah, and I try to agree the most of the time, but I always find a way to disagree. And I think, again, Newcastle, far away, they've been in Champions League for almost the rest of the season, a team that he was built to maybe hanging on the middle of the table. And you're going to compare it with Man United, that is a team that he should be winning the trophy. Sorry, but I have to disagree there.
Yeah. I'm
that's your algorithm.
I'm going to drop Jules and Luis. That's who's getting cut next week. That's what's happening.
Bayern Munich style of
2023. But no analysts. That's what we're going for.
Last week you said that the horoscope wasn't aligning for you. What is the excuse this week?
No excuse. That's some of my best work.
This was some of your best
some
work?
Some best work.
The bar is very low.
So Chuck the power ranking for 2023 now would appear to be a top 11. We'll see if he's going to be more decisive when he answers your questions on the latest.
Buy 10, get one free.
Extra time.
This is how he does his shopping.
Today with Extra Time over on our YouTube page. Look, there's that fantastic centre-back from Frank Leboeuf.
He just did a top 6.
Historically good centre-back.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Sorry, Joss, I had to balance out the numbers.
Hey, those two teams are drawing in my power rankings.
Yes, they are.
They're both in at number 10.
And they're going to share the trophy according to the power rankings.
Right, everybody gets a medal.
They're playing to decide who's in the power rankings.
Everybody wins.
Never mind the Carabao Cup. It's who gets to stay in the rankings is all at stake.
Orange slices and juice boxes.
Meanwhile,
everybody gets a trophy.
I'll tell you who's really enjoying his retirement is Gareth Bale. Here he is at the AT&T Pro.
Pro-Am at Pebble Beach today.
All right, he's had enough practice.
Gareth Bale has made the journey over to the U.S. We're glad to have you here, Gareth.
Newly retired Gareth Bale. Retired at 33, what are you going to do with yourself?
Nothing.
That's a good swing. Hey, that's a swing that has there has been practice in this swing.
Oh!
There's been commitment in this swing.
Hello, Gareth. Oh. Look very familiar.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure about the man bun sticking out the back of the cap, but all right.
That's all right.
You know me and man bun.
But let me tell you something. There's been some time behind that swing. Huh?
Lucky.
The sort of commitment.
Lucky.
What do you mean, lucky?
That was lucky.
That was really good.
That was a lot of practice.
I like that, Gareth.
I look like my swing.
Plenty of practice behind that one.
I look
one.
Like my swing.
Stick around with us. These two are in this form on Extra Time answering your questions. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Chaka Ale. We also have Luis, who's already laughing. What's so funny, Luis?
I'm still laughing about something that Ali said about the Gareth Bale and his time hitting the golf club before he started.
See, Luis. Luis pretends that he hates me, but he really loves me.
Well, let's ask him. Yes. Luis, today Ale's suit is for a special reason, and you usually give a grade and tell us how much you like what Ale's wearing and how much you don't like it.
All right,
what about today?
I love it. That combination with watch and handkerchief.
Yeah. His watch band is matching his pocket square, matching his stripe on his shoe.
I've seen it. I've seen it. The line on his shoes. No, it's perfect. Perfect combination.
See?
I love it.
See, Luis loves me.
And now tell us why, Ale.
Well, it's in honor of the colors of the school that my son committed to play soccer to, and he signed his commitment letter today. A moment for us to be very proud, and we love this guy, and we know how much he has put into this. So, love you, buddy. We're not having Pedri. We're keeping you. Keeping you, buddy.
You just wait till you go off.
We're keeping you until you leave for school.
In case you missed it, there was once upon a time when Ale said he would swap his eldest son for Pedri, but not anymore.
That's right.
Wofford
Terriers. Division One soccer. We're very proud because this is something that he had worked very hard for. So it's a big moment for him.
That's fantastic. Congratulations. Yeah. All of you. Yeah. Jules, I know you're upset about Mbappe missing the first leg, but come on. 2 years ago, Bayern played PSG without Lewandowski, Gnabry, Goretzka, plus Bayern are missing Mane, Neuer, Hernandez and Mazraoui for both legs. I think Bayern are the unlucky ones here.
I could not care less who Bayern have, who didn't have, who they played 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 2 years ago, I don't care. Like, it's just a shame that PSG would be without Kylian. Kylian is gutted. As a PSG fan, I'm gutted because we're stronger with him than without him. So it's a good thing for Bayern. Bayern fans, you know, probably happy or happier that PSG will have to play against them without Mbappe and maybe others too. It's just a shame as well. And we go back to the same thing. You want to see those games played with each team with their best starting 11, with their best players. It's rubbish if Lewandowski is not there, Mbappe is not there, Neymar is not there, Gnabry, you know, all of that. You want to see them facing each other with all their best players available, which is not going to be the case again this year.
Jude's a little aggressive to me.
I don't care what you say. I'm not going to put Frank LeBeouf in the best France defenders list because I don't care.
I don't care about Frank.
You can tell him as well.
Yeah, I don't care about anybody.
For all.
Rafael Varane is a nice guy.
For all. As former players, can you explain why players who score against a former team of theirs always put their hands up like they didn't mean to do it? They should just go high-five their teammates and go back to the halfway for the restart, right, Luis?
I think that is a little bit to show respect. It happens to me and I didn't celebrate it when I play away. But if I'm at home in my stadium, I score against my former team, that it was Atletico de Madrid, and I celebrate it, because they were the fans that I was with the team that I was at the moment. So I understand, and normally it's something that you show respect for the fans that they've been supporting you when you play away in your former team.
So there are rules. If you're at home, it's okay. If you're away, no go.
Let me tell you something. I had no rules whatsoever.
Well,
scoring, hey, look, scoring for me as a striker came somewhat difficult. So whenever I score, I don't care who I scored against, former team or not, you're going to get it. Take that. Get it. Yeah, all of that. I'm celebrating with him, with her, with everybody. I don't care.
And it doesn't bother you if players do or don't?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Look, you're no longer paying my salary. I don't owe anything to you. See you later. In fact, in my case, and I can only speak for myself, in my case, I was either had been traded away or I was left unprotected in an expansion list. So, listen, they didn't want me. I don't want them anymore. So, get it.
You've been unloading a lot of trauma onto this show, you know.
First Jules, now LA.
I know, he's been kind of all introspective and...
Yeah, hey, well...
Talking about some of his deeper, darker issues. Yeah,
well, you know, when your son is about to go off to college, it forces you to say... Good Lord, I'm getting old.
Yeah, don't blame your son for this.
I am getting old.
Don't blame your son for this.
At least he's keeping his son now, right?
For now.
Luis, if you were a coach, what type of football would you want your team to play? The Barcelona way, Klopp's direct football, or maybe the way Atleti play under Simeone?
I would love to do Barcelona style, but I don't think that is very available in away from Barcelona. So I will do a mix between what Simeone does and what Jurgens does. I will try to keep my team very compact and press, depending on what I got in front, higher on the pitch or lower on the pitch. But that will be my idea. I think the playing the way that Barcelona play is very, very difficult.
Yeah, Luis is acting as if he were on the field, he was going to be defending like Simeone would ask him to defend. Are you kidding me? Zero chance Luis was going to defend like that.
Jules, what about you if you were a coach? Barca's way, Klopp's direct football, or the way Atleti play under Simeone?
No, I agree with Luis. I think that even if your players are adaptable and they can maybe one day play like the Barca of Pep, it's so hard and you need everything to really fit into the puzzle, all of that. Simeone style, I don't think the players enjoy it, so that was not for me. So I try to go for something a bit like Klopp in the sense that I want players to, with a lot of movement, with a lot of running, a lot of intensity, trying to recover the ball high and quickly when you lose it, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I think this is also fun, and it's fun for your fans, it's fun for everybody. So that would probably be my preference.
To all, if what happened to Ziyech happened to you on transfer day deadline, how would you react for the rest of the season?
It wouldn't be pretty. You'd kick up a stink all season though. That first they push you out and then you can't go because of them and their inefficiencies, and that's putting it as nicely as I can. If you're Ziyech, I don't see how you just kind of accept that.
But you can't just sit there and be miserable the rest of the time.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I can do that.
You can.
Yeah, come on. You can be miserable for as long as needed.
Jules, what's the reaction been to that now that we're further removed from it?
Well, I think PSG is still furious, and rightly so. I think Ziyech is not happy, of course, because he wanted to leave. He didn't really see a future for himself at Chelsea for the second half of this season, and he wanted to go to Paris. He was already in Paris. He's a good pro, so I think once this is done and it's over, you can't dwell on it, really. And you need to put yourself back into focusing on training and doing your best for Chelsea if you get picked. But where I think a lot of people are struggling, and me included, is that it was a good deal for everybody. Chelsea didn't want Ziyech anymore. They tried to sell him last summer. They could have finally got rid of him, at least for the second half of the season. Ziyech didn't want to be at Chelsea anymore. He wanted to be in Paris, and PSG were looking for a wide player, and they found it with Ziyech. So everybody was winning, Chelsea, Ziyech and PSG. And now everybody has lost because Chelsea still have a player that they don't want. Ziyech doesn't want to be there. And PSG have missed out on the player that they wanted, you know, for the second half of the season. So it's just, I think it's bonkers that whether Chelsea did it on purpose or not, you know, sending the wrong paperwork or forgetting to sign it and then forgetting a second time to sign it. Are you kidding me? Or twice in a row you forget to sign the bloody paperwork, and then obviously you send it and it's like three minutes past midnight and the window closes. I mean, and that's it. It's done. I just don't. And by the way, I don't think it reflects good on Chelsea at all.
Jules a bit annoyed there.
Yeah. Yeah. Ever since Mbappe got injured, Jules has got a little,
I know, sensitive.
Jules has got a little edge there.
Yeah, a little anger. There's a little
I'm
anger.
I'm just explaining the facts.
Fair enough, Jules. You explained it great.
The bloody papers.
PSG were going to get a player. See, because, once again, it's because PSG didn't get what they wanted.
Uh-huh.
I don't care what you say. I don't care about you. We didn't get the player we wanted, so dang.
You know why they didn't get the player? The bloody papers.
The bloody papers. Yeah.
All right, at their best, which fullback pairing is better? You just have to imagine the players at their best rather than looking at the games, because obviously you're going to hear why. Trent and Robertson or Cancelo and Davies? Ali, do you have a leaning?
Well, the problem is that Trent Alexander-Arnold is so bad defensively that it's difficult to choose him.
At their best, though.
Yeah, well, yeah, but their best, when we think of Trent Alexander-Arnold in his best, is serving the ball and being an outlet down the right-hand side, not defending. See, I'm a responsible coach.
Okay.
I want my team to not only be able to attack, but we got to defend.
Okay, just outscore it at the other end when you make those mistakes because of his contribution way?
I'm a responsible coach, right? I'm with Luis and more Simeone style. I'm going to take Alphonso Davies and Joao Cancelo.
Luis, who would you take?
On their best, I'm going for Robertson and Trent. Even though that I agree with Ali, with that Trent maybe is not the best fullback or is not in that bunch of football, I will use it anyway. I mean, when two players are on their best, I'm gonna give you how many? 10 goals between the two of you, and maybe last year, I think it was 15 assists each. I think is something unbelievable. That's something that is going to give you so much. So I will help them with our two very good centre backs, and that's it.
Great. We don't want you to agree and think far too much.
But see, there was a softening blow there. You know, he partially agreed with something I said. So
polite.
I'll take that.
Just that's polite. And
that's always.
That's nice. I like that.
For Luis, can Dani Ceballos eventually become a midfield starter and fill the shoes of Modric?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, those are big shoes, but definitely the way I think that for Ceballos was about giving something extra. We all knew the quality, we all knew his ability when he's on the ball, the creativity, but he was asked for giving that fight, give that battle in the center of the park. And we've seen it in the past three games, and you can see that he's reacting on that. I'm not sure if it's because his contract is ending at the end of this competition, but definitely he's showing that character that is needed to play in the middle of the park. And that personality, that character, I mean, I think he's a fantastic, fantastic player, and he's showing that he can be a very important player in the middle of Real Madrid midfield.
Now, don't let the man bun cloud your judgment here, because we know that you're anti-man bun.
I'm very anti-man bun.
If Gareth Bale wins a major golf tournament, should he be considered the greatest athlete of all time?
What? No is the short answer to that question.
Is that because of the man bun?
Well, that too. They're better athletes. There are a number of athletes who've played at the highest level of multiple sports.
But how many have won the Champions League and a golf major?
Deion Sanders scored a touchdown or hit a home run in the same week. You can't beat that.
Same day.
Same day?
Yeah.
Same day. You can't beat that. You can't beat that.
Well, and if we're going to go in terms of athletes and two-sport athletes, there was nobody better than Bo Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he had issues with injury, and that cut his career short. But this guy, we're talking about a completely different specimen. Bo Jackson was one of a kind. It's too bad for us that actually his career was cut short. But when he hit a home run, it wasn't just a home run. This thing was out of the park. And when this guy was running with the ball, there was nobody stopping him.
And let me just say, I've been working on my golf game as well, so I'm not totally out of this conversation.
Is it better than your Spanish?
It's improving.
What? The Spanish or the golf?
Ask Luis what he thinks.
about your Spanish or your golf?
Let me just carry on. Carry on, everybody.
You see, he's got on your new swing.
Go on then, Luis.
He's got a great swing.
Thanks, Luis. that was the most insincere thing I've ever heard in my life.
He's got a great swing.
If he said it in Spanish, he wouldn't have understood it. All right, Jules, on this question, if Gareth Bale wins a major golf tournament, should he be considered the greatest athlete of all time? You can end it for us.
I agree with the boys. No, I mean, Bo Jackson, by the way, there's a ESPN 30 for 30 that is fascinating on his life, on his career. There's one on Deion Sanders as well, so go and check it out. And I tell you, Gareth Bale is not going to win a golf major. So that ended up, that finishes the debate here.
And there you go. And some great cross promotion as well from Julien Laurent there.
All encompassing. Well, see, he cross promotes ESPN, doesn't cross promote Frank LeBeau.
That's why he gets the big bucks, Jules.
He gets the big bucks, but he just doesn't get any love for Frank LeBeau.
Angry Jules will cross promote.
Join us tomorrow for more cross promote. ESPN FC, available daily on ESPN Plus. We'll